Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Warren Moon on board today. Hall of Fame quarterback, 9-time Pro Bowler, Warren Moon will be jumping on today. Boy, there's a lot to get to. We've had the last few days off. Hope you and yours have been safe. Obviously, here in our great state, the numbers just continue to explode with COVID, and the impact of all of sports is front and center. When people say, stick to sports, you're joking, right? When people say, oh, well, we're just guessing, well, no, actually, there's some stuff there that you can form opinions around about what will happen, what may happen. And I think having debate about these topics, in particular on the high school and college platform, is very healthy right now, rather than, well, let's just wait for Larry Scott to make an announcement. No, that's not how it works. Let's wait for David Hines. No, that's not how it works. So when people don't want to share ideas, that's very dangerous in a space where we've never been before. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. Exceptional service, financial solutions, including auto, refi, HELOC, insurance, wills, trust, and much more. You know them. They've been around a long time. Great people. Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Eric is with us. We've not seen each other in over a week. Has anything changed in your world?
No, I shaved today for like the first time in five or six days.
That's what changed.
I mean, you know, I'm living that COVID dream this summer. You know, just sort of trying to stay healthy and seeing what the sports calendar brings. It seems like we're getting some new developments on some things, but yeah, we are still waiting. We're not waiting for the yard guy, as you can tell. He's here and in full effect. Of course, some timing on that. But anyway, Brad, good to see you.
Yeah, you know, I've worn this shirt like all of zero since March, but just felt like dressing up today.
See, I'm just gonna show off. Yes, I am still wearing basketball shorts.
That's what I like.
I have on a nice golf shirt, but I still have on basketball shorts.
We love transparency. We love transparency. That's the way it works. So yesterday when the Ivy League announced that they were gassing their sports, this morning the ACC has come out and said that on September 1st they're going to start. So I actually think that's somewhat reasonable here on July 9th. I know there's people that are now in full bore, just cancel everything. And I'm going to get to that point eventually. Yeah, here in Arizona, the numbers are awful. I mean, we're above everybody in the world right now. And I have to laugh at this because we saw the lunacy in the idiocy back in mid-June when people just hit out and went to bars and nobody masked up. And then you had the maskers saying, well, what are you doing telling me to mask up? I don't know. The numbers lie now. So I think on that front, and then Stanford cutting sports yesterday, Ray Anderson at some point. And at some point, you have to have U of A. Dave Hickey's got to speak out. At some point, NAU's got to speak out about the future of where they are with athletics. I think the easy thing to do, Eric, is to pull the plug and just say, yeah, well, we're not going to do that. And I would still make the point of you need about 6 to 8 weeks to get ready. About that time. And if we get to 11, 12 days from now, we're still nowhere to be seen, you're going to have to really have some serious conversation, in my view.
I sort of look at what happened at Stanford yesterday to a bunch of schools in the Pac-12 looking at a certain recruit. And then one school in the Pac-12 offers that recruit, and then all the other Pac-12 schools offer. I'm wondering if the Dave Hickeys and the Ray Andersons see what happened at Stanford and say, okay, Stanford did it. They jumped off the cliff first. Now it's okay if we sort of follow suit because we don't want to be the first one. But like you and I talked about yesterday, Brad, I mean, Stanford has a $277 billion endowment.
Billion dollar endowment. B, so not M, B.
Were they just looking for a reason to sort of make those club sports?
Well, sure. I think you can go down that path. And I believe that in Arizona State's space, the cuts from Stanford, the ones that concern me, girls volleyball and wrestling. I mean, those are two that you look at and say, and I don't like seeing any sports cut. And I think crew is a terrific sport when it comes to the Olympics. And a lot of time those Olympians are UCLA or Stanford. So I never want to see kids. There were 240 athletes yesterday that were told, yeah, we're not doing your sport anymore. 240 Stanford athletes that were told that. And, you know, is Arizona State going to do the email, the knock on the door and say, yeah, so here's how it works. We know you came here. We know we told you that we love you. We know we told you that you're all going to be safe and sound and secure. Well, life got in the way. And like for the Ivy League, Eric, there's some high school football players in this state that have gone to play at the Ivy League. And for those guys to get a knock on the door that, yeah, we're not playing football this year. We're the Ivy League. Michael Crow is given the, you know, we're the Stanford of the, or the Harvard of the West. Harvard of the West. Okay, if you're the Harvard of the West, then what's the West going to do since Harvard canceled football yesterday?
Yeah, speaking of Harvard, I spoke to a local high school football player earlier this morning who is on his way to Harvard. I'll be writing about it later in Zone Read, but it was interesting to hear how, yes, the Ivy League seems to have it all figured out, but there's still a lot of questions. At Harvard, the freshmen are going to be allowed on campus,
right,
but the sophomores, juniors, and seniors will not be allowed to be brought back on campus, which I think is a really interesting dynamic, especially even though they're not playing games, Brad, but everyone's still going to be sort of on a different workout schedule because the Harvard football players, the freshmen, are going to be doing one thing on campus, and then all the other, the majority of the players on the roster are still probably going to have their own workout plans, not being able to be on campus until at least later in the fall or even early in the spring.
So are they bringing them on campus, do you think? I always try to figure out what's the business side of this. It's not like Harvard needs tuition for room and board, right? It's not like they need that, but is that the reason why? Is, well, we got to get, everybody's got a bottom line number they've got to meet, even Harvard.
Yep.
Even Stanford's looking at their budget saying, yeah, we're not going to do this anymore. So do you think it's, yeah, we need all freshmen to show up because we need to fill up those dorm rooms. You know, is it a place where it's a petri dish for COVID? You know, why would you do, I guess that's my question, is do you want the freshmen need the experience of college immediately? It won't be as damaging to a sophomore or junior. You know, when you went off to TCU, there was probably a period of adjustment, right? There was probably
a time where
I had no clue what I was doing, or the fear of leaving home. Maybe that's what they're looking at. I don't know.
Yeah. Another thing, Brad, real quick, is usually in the Ivy League, unless you are injured, you cannot redshirt. But with the season being pushed back to spring and potentially canceled, it's groundbreaking that the Ivy League, if there is no football in 2020, either in the fall or the spring, essentially, all the freshmen next year will be freshmen again. Usually, if you even step on the practice field or play a little bit, there's no redshirting because the Ivy League kids, you know, they're there for the education and they go run businesses and be CEOs.
Right.
But because of COVID, if there's no football, all of the 2020 class will be freshmen next year.
That is interesting. That's because then you have a logjam, obviously.
Right.
Because those seniors are not moving on. So you really are sitting on top of five classes. And you're going to have guys that are saying, well, I committed to go here because I want to play right away. Well, if you're going to Harvard or Princeton or Yale, you're going there to get an education. There's some stuff happening on the high school platform. So we'll take a break here. We'll get to that on the other side. Warren Moon in about 15 minutes. Stay with us. Short segment here, Warren Moon in about 10 minutes or less. So the AIA met yesterday. I understand that there's athletic directors at a meeting today on the high school level, and that Governor Ducey may speak tomorrow. So there's momentum growing on what to do with high school sports. Eric, as you sit here from your chair, what do you think is the best idea right now on July 9th that you've read, heard, think out of yourself on what to do with fall sports?
I think they can hold out a little bit longer, but by a little bit, I mean a week or two. And then there has to be some decision made. I know overlapping seasons is hard, But if I were making the decision, I would say we're going to start football in January and we're going to figure out a way for fall sports and spring sports to coexist, just because it's the big unknown, Brad, especially in Arizona. Like, you would think the COVID numbers would go down. You would think. But until we actually see the COVID numbers go down, we have to live in the present. And right now, we are the hot spot in the world for COVID. So I can't see even games starting by mid-September.
Okay, so under that, if you start everything, are you saying every sport on January 1, or do you still try to do the winter sports, which are mid-November, they start end of October? Because I think you could do it myself. I do too,
because, again, you would think within 3 months we will have a better handle on COVID, but with high school football specifically, I mean, those games, Brad, are supposed to start in 5 weeks. Right. Impossible. Not going to happen. Okay, let's double that. 10 weeks? Still don't think that's feasible. But if you ramp out all the way until the heart of the fall, when we're getting closer to Thanksgiving and into the holiday season, I think it's feasible that you could do winter sports in high school in the winter.
So could you do football starting November 1? And here's why I'm asking. If you did football and you would then have wrestling and football kids and wrestling kids and track kids are all kind of the same now from what I've seen. If you're multi-sport, they very seldom do you have a football kid that plays basketball. It's on occasion. Well, Spencer Rattler was one of those for a bit.
Right.
But there's not many. Well, who's the tackle pinnacle? I'm blanking on.
Yeah, Tosh Baker. Maybe it's a pinnacle thing. So
yeah, it could be. But I think, could you go down that path and start some of those sports? Because from a facilities standpoint, you're going to have soccer teams, boys and girls, fighting with the football program to play on the football field with most of these schools. In schools that have grass, forget it. They're going to be potholes. They're going to be all chewed up. That would just be my initial thought to you. While I agree with you, there would just have to be a real concerted effort on fields. It sounds like Governor Ducey that there may be some aid coming along, a substantial amount, because I still am concerned about the coaches and teachers in front of these kids, along with the kids. I'm not even going to say more than, it's just along with them. You can't put a 60-year-old offensive line coach on the sideline with COVID flying around. You just can't do that. And then you shouldn't put a 17-year-old out there either, but you can't put people that are older, the bus drivers that do it as a retirement gig, you can't put them out there.
And I think from a football perspective, Brad, real quick, I think coaches would love to see the season start in mid to late November, because let's look ahead to 2021. If these seasons aren't starting until January, by the time the season ends, it's a real quick turnaround to get back to the normal schedule. If you start it, you know, a month, 5 weeks earlier than that, at least it gives the kids a little break for their bodies to recover and mentally just to kind of hit the reset before starting the grind in 2021 all over again.
But you have to talk about player safety on that one when you get to that point. All right, take a break here. Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, is next. Welcome back. As promised, Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. Here's someone that back in the day when he was playing and slinging, I would have him on, and now here he is all these years later, 17 seasons in the NFL and all sorts of things around the league that I wanted to have him on. He sees the NFC West inside and out. Down here with the arrival of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, there's some buzz, but still a really tough division. The Hall of Famer Warren Moon joins us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just trying to survive this, this COVID-19 pandemic that we're going through, and then, you know, all the other unrest that's going on in the country. But I think we're holding it all together, trying to keep my family together, trying to keep my kids educated as to what's going on, and trying to keep the weight down, because I've been eating a lot since I've been cooped up in the house for all these months.
All of us have. That's a good way to put it, Warren. I guess on the football end of things, when we get through this, and none of us know, but what type of impact will this layoff have at the pro level? Let's just start with the pro level. You have these quarterbacks coming in that haven't had all the layoff. It looks like we're going to be delayed. What type of impact is this going to have on football, do you believe?
It's definitely going to have an impact because these guys are, first of all, football players and all athletes are creatures of habit, and they're used to doing the same things every year as far as getting themselves ready to play for a season. And it goes through a process of, you know, the off season where you get a little bit of a rest, and all of a sudden you slowly start to get back into your workout routine. And then all of a sudden it's time for the OTAs and those things. So you go through a process, and that whole process this year has been kind of disrupted because of the COVID-19. So the guys haven't been able to do things that they normally do. And there's some guys that have been privy to having gyms in their houses or whatever where they can keep working out. But there's a lot of young guys who maybe live in an apartment building or something where their gym was shut down and they didn't have a way to get to a gym to work out because a lot of the gyms were closed during that whole period of time. So there's going to be some guys that are in better shape than others. There's going to be some guys a little bit more prepared than others. They've been doing a lot of their OTAs through virtual over the computer. So as far as the mental side of it, they might be up to speed on what they need to learn. But until you get out on the field and put all that together in groups of, you know, an offense or a defense or special teams, you don't know exactly what you have. And especially with young guys, you draft a bunch of guys out of college, whether they're draft choices or free agents, you don't know what they are until you get them on the field with your football team. So there's going to be a lot of unknowns going into this training camp, whatever's left of it.
Hall of Famer Warren Moon with us. Drill down, if you can, then on the quarterbacks, Burrow, Tua. What is it that they're missing right now? What is it they need to be doing? You can only study so much. Yeah. You got to go out and work at it.
You really do. You have to work at it physically, but I think you can get a better grip of things the more tape that you watch. You watch tape of the offense that you're going to get ready to run. And then you can also start to sneak peek and just start looking at other defenses and see the defenses, especially in your division, on what you're going to face throughout the year. But the main thing is you want to get a good grasp of what you're going to be doing offensively. So you want to watch as much tape on the offense that you're going to be running, whether it's from last year or prior years, to see exactly how the offense is supposed to look and how it's supposed to operate. I think that's all these guys can really do until they actually get out in the field with their teammates and start throwing it around.
Hall of Famer Warren Moon with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, here in Arizona, Kyler Murray burst on the scene last year. I thought under a lot of duress, a lot of injuries in front of him, was able to do a remarkable job. What did you make out of Kyler Murray in year one? What's his ceiling in your view?
Yeah, he's a tremendous young player, and it didn't surprise me that he came in and had success, only because he was familiar with that offense coming in there a little bit from college. He ran a lot of that, I forgot what they call it. I forgot the name they use for it, but he had been familiar with that offense in college, and I think they incorporated a lot of things, which was very, very smart of Cliff Kingsbury to incorporate things that he had success with at Oklahoma, so that didn't make his learning curve that great. And then when you have a Larry Fitzgerald out there who's kind of a comfort zone for you out there as your slot receiver. You know he's going to do the right thing all the time and make plays for you. And then they had some other talent on that team. So Kyler is a guy that his ceiling is unbelievable because he's only going to continue to get better. He was Rookie of the Year last year. He had a solid season. Started out slow, but he got better as the year went on. That's what you want to see a young guy do. You want to see him get better as the year went along, and he did that. And now he's got a lot to look at as far as what he did right, what he did wrong last year, and how he can build off of that in that second year. And they've put some more talent around him this year, having the other players they've added to their roster.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins coming in. We're really interested to see how that works out for him down here. I guess I look at him, and I didn't realize how short in stature he was. People made such a big deal out of that. It didn't feel like it really impacted him last year, not being that guy that's the 6'2", 6'3", quarterback.
Well, it does impact a smaller guy. And, you know, I've been around Russell Wilson most of his career up in Seattle. And I know there are times, a lot of times, in games where there's sometimes he just can't see. He just can't see things that are happening, especially over the middle of the football, because that's where that rush tends to come in your face. And if you notice, a lot of Russell's throws are outside of the hash marks and even outside of the numbers. A lot of those throws are out there because he has better vision out there. And I'm sure it's the same for Kyler. There were probably times where he's sitting in the pocket and he just can't see a receiver that might be open over the middle because of the height difference, and he has to move around and make something happen. But fortunately, he has that ability to move around and make something happen like a Russell Wilson, and he can make some plays. But there are times when he's not going to be able to make those plays, and he'll take a sack that's not necessarily the offensive line's fault. And you saw a lot of that this year as well. Sometimes those sacks weren't on the offensive line, just like Russell Wilson takes a lot of sacks that weren't on the offensive line because he just can't see and he's trying to make something happen and the defense breaks down. So there are some disadvantages to being that height, but then there's some advantages as far as when you can move around the way those guys can and put the pressure on the defense.
What do you make out of the NFC West, Warren? Because it came down to really a yard or even less than a yard between a different team being in the Super Bowl. What do you make out of this division?
It's probably the toughest division in football. A lot of people are starting to say maybe the NFC South because of Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. But I still think the NFC West is going to be the most competitive from top to bottom because San Francisco is San Francisco. They're a very, very solid football team. Not a lot of changes on their team. Seattle's going to be right there, as always, with Pete Carroll and just the way they play. Whenever you have a Russell Wilson, you're going to be in every game. The Rams, they're kind of retooling, but they still have a lot of talent on that team, so I expect them to be very competitive. And then Arizona's going to be improved, one, because you have a first-year quarterback going into the second year who you think he's going to get better, and then they've improved their roster on both sides of the football, so they're going to be right in the thick of things as well. And they do a very good job within a division. They seem to own Seattle, especially when they come up here. So it's tough when you play within the division because these teams know each other so well. So you're going to have to really do well in your non-division games because those division games are dogfights in this division.
Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon with us. Before I get you out of here, two quarterbacks I want to throw at you. I'm sure two completely schools of thought. Colin Kaepernick on the field. Do you see it happening?
You know, I'm really not sure. And my biggest question is, nobody's heard Colin Kaepernick say, I want to play NFL football. I'm dying to play NFL football. Everybody else is speaking for him, saying he deserves a chance. He deserves an opportunity. I think he deserves an opportunity, but only if he's willing to commit to being a quarterback for a football team. Because when you're a quarterback in the NFL, you've got to be all in. You've got to be into everything that's going on and committed to what's going on the offseason, all the different work that you have to put in, first guy in the building, last guy out, and you have to put some of your other things to the side. And then he's been away from the game for 3 years, so even more so he's going to have to put time in to get himself back up to speed. So when I hear that Colin Kaepernick wants to play football, he's dying to get back in the league, I think he deserves an opportunity. Somebody should give him that.
Tom Brady. What do you see at this stage of his career?
I see a guy who's still motivated. I think he has a lot to prove. I think that chip on his shoulder is even bigger than the one he's been carrying the course of his career of being a six-round draft pick. Now he wants to show that I'm not just a product of the New England Patriots dynasty or the New England Patriots Patriots way. I'm a really, really good quarterback, and I'm going to show you that I'm a really good quarterback by going to another team that hasn't been that well or been that great over the last 10 years, and I'm going to turn them around. So I think Tom is very highly motivated to go out there and play well. He's taken very, very good care of his body. He's got great weapons to throw the football to, and I'm thinking he'll be able to change the culture of that team as well and make them just a little bit more productive and a little less mistake-prone as far as a team that beats themselves a lot. He's not going to make them beat themselves. He's going to keep them in every football game.
Good stuff. I appreciate your time. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
There's Hall of Famer Warren Moon with us, and we're back with more after this timeout. So a couple other things before we get out of here. Eric, I'm having a hard time here on Thursday the 9th of seeing baseball have an opening day. I'm still in that mode of, and I think that even Orlando and the Suns got a break today. Bradley Beal's not going to play. And that's the first team that they play down there. That's the second leading scorer that's not playing. I'm still just in the space of the world's on fire. This is not going to happen with sports. I hate to be like negative here, but that's where I'm at. Where are you?
I think you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I can't see Major League Baseball and the NBA finishing these seasons. I just there's going to be a complication or multiple complications. Something is going to happen. You know, NBA players are going to sneak out of the bubble and do what some NBA players do, and then they're going to come back and play a game, and they're going to sweat all over guys, and then they're going to get the test, and then we're going to have a huge spike, and then you're going to have teams that are in quarantine, and I don't know. Like, I just want to – I love sports. I love them. I love all of them, but I just wish we would just punt on this until 2021. Like, we keep square peg round-holing what's going on, and everything looks great at the big bad NFL, but behind the scenes, there are some things happening on the economic side that's going to impact a lot of people because
the already NFL has impacted a lot of people.
Always has impacted a lot of people, and the NFL is just going to, they're just going to do what the NFL wants to do, and, you know, no one's going to be able to control that narrative.
Okay, so there's 170 days left in the year. Thereabouts.
Yeah, this year can't end soon enough, by the way.
No, I know. And everybody's putting that, but I guess I look at it optimistically that through adversity, we're all going to be better on the backside, whenever that is, whatever that looks like. And we're not going to just go in the corner and suck my thumb and say, oh my gosh, the world's coming to an end. It might be, I don't know. It might be this is how I'm supposed to get checked out. I don't know.
And like you said, Brad, to interrupt you real quick, we've lived without sports this long. We can live and be normal humans without sports. At the beginning, it was just like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Well, guess what? We haven't seen really a lot of live sports since early March, and here we are to mid-July, and people are still breathing. Things are happening.
But that's the point, Eric. That is why they're trying to force sports, because there are executives and there are people in leagues saying, you don't want to let things get too far away because then people won't come back. I know friends, and one of them in particular has been a huge sponsor in the Valley of sporting events. Huge. Season tickets to everything. And he sent me a text the other day, says, I don't miss it. I don't think I'm going to go back. And this is somebody that writes checks with big zeros on the back of them. The decimal point is way down the line for a lot of these teams. And this is somebody who's just like, I think I'm going to be okay. And I feel the same way. Now, people are like, well, you guys are a sports company. You know, we're actually about people. Actually, we have lives. We actually aren't. Like, I actually got into it with my wife last night, a little bit, watching the evening news, which I very seldom do because it's so bottom of the birdcage stuff. And I was watching what was being put on for sports, and I'm like, just please turn the channel. Just please. And we have Hulu, so it's not like I can just, it doesn't turn quick enough for me. And they're doing, like, the Suns going into the bubble on a day when the Ivy League cut sports, Stanford cut sports, and I just flat don't care about something that was said a week ago. And even in our industry, I see good people, you know, good people that get tossed out of the street. And what they do, they'll come back. It'll come back. But this whole idea of what are we going to do about sports? And the parents of high school kids that are wanting to reclassify their kids, no matter how you try to explain it, that's going to be really hard to do because they're already in high school. Those people are coming out of the woodwork to me because they see an opportunity, and there's daddies with big paychecks, big bank accounts, a lot of lawyers that say, well, you know what? We could figure a way out to do that. It's like, yes, I'm with you that if you just shut it down, it's 5 more months. We've already gone almost 5 months of this. And if you and I are on a sideline at a high school football game or at an Arizona State game, or if we're at ASU at UNLV in September, I would be absolutely stunned. Absolutely stunned. But I feel like that there's these leagues that see that people are starting to say, you know, we don't really need this sports stuff that much. It's really not that important.
And I think this staff, Brad, our staff, we are storytellers. And even though there are no sports really happening, there are a lot of really good stories to tell that revolve around sports. Some that even intertwine with the pandemic, some that intertwine with what's going on at the Ivy League level. I mean, even though there are no sports, it doesn't necessarily impact what you and I do.
No, it doesn't.
Or what Jordan does, or what Sandy does, or what Devin does, because we tell stories. We don't rely on the Diamondbacks winning a game 5-3 in Cincinnati on a Friday. That's not what makes our wheels turn.
No, I don't care about a pitching change and whether to debate it or not. I mean, that just doesn't – I don't care about Devin Booker scoring 70 in a game. I don't care. The story you did yesterday on the high school girl who's been impacted by COVID and losing parents, that I got choked up on that. And those stories are all around out there, but I'm feeling like as you and I have done this over the last 4 months, we become more and more raw and more open. I'm going to have a sports psychologist on next week. It's just time. It's just time because the damage or lack of damage, there's two sides on this. Kids are resilient. Kids will come back. 4 months being away from sports, school, online learning, not a big deal. And then there's the other side of, no, we're going to have a real issue on the other side of the coin here with kids, both high school and college, that have not been in a classroom setting, that are going to miss, if you're in high school, they're going to miss homecoming this year, and they're going to miss time hanging out with people, and they don't know how to socially interact. There is that side, and I just think it's time to go a little bit deeper, a little bit more raw. It was fun talking Warren Moon. It was great. We talked football, something real different. It was just, you know, what's Tua and Burrow going to be like without having a camp, you know, that sort of thing. But I just feel like the idea of the urgency of returning sports, I don't see it. That doesn't mean you don't discuss ideas on how to get it back. I think to just be so closed-minded and say, well, we just should shut everything down today and not just give it a few more weeks. What does it look like around July 20th? I think it's very fair.
Very fair. Very fair. And that's logical because, again, we're tiptoeing closer to August, but we're still not in August.
Yeah.
I think that mid to late July has to be the – you're either going to jump off the bridge or you're going to try to figure out a way to get across the bridge.
Right.
So.
Right. All right. Be safe. See you soon. Thanks. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Plenty of content over on the website at sports360az.com. At sports360az.com. Make it a great day.